So let's open our Bibles. Praise be to God. Amen. And getting there into the 27th chapter, if you will, of Genesis. Now, last week, we ventured into the some more of the bridal heart encouragement that we, again, have been given in these precious sisters of the Old Testament that magnified the full overcomers of the Old Testament. And there were characteristics and traits and patterns in their lives, always intense about the Word of God and going after all of it and the need to take it now. And there was always that pressing upon their hearts. And we started last night a little study, or last week, in, about Rebecca. And we saw her full passion for the things of God. She had a heart that nothing could compare. Nothing could was going to hold her back from God's best. She had a heart like David, a heart that panted after every word of the Lord that she heard. The ministering of the Lord, as she heard it, she received it. And by the grace of God, just like she sat at the well, we need to be encouraged as we hear the word of God to pray, Lord, let me receive it, and let me receive it quickly. We need to move on the word of God. I know in, at times of my life, you'll contemplate. We don't have time to contemplate. This is the word of the Lord, and you need to pray for that kind of faith, quickened faith, the most holy faith, faith that'll go in when it's not popular, and faith is not popular today, I'll just tell you that. Never really has been, but that's the beautiful thing about the word of God, because the word of God said it wouldn't be. In matter of fact, there'd be more of a famine for the word of God. We know that we're here at this time, and I thank the Lord that for those that want to go on, there's never been a more exciting time. There's never been a more fiery time to go, because that's the way God does it. And that's the way God did it with these precious sisters, is gave them moments of time when they were circled out, just like your life. You're circled out. You know it. You know that the Lord traced the path of your life so exact that when you sit down, you're just amazed. You start complaining, sit down and see how amazed God drew your life. And then you begin to praise the Lord, tell him you're sorry, and then you're thankful, and then you laugh with him. You know what I'm saying. But again, just how precise, the exact timing of the Lord. And she panted for the word of the Lord as she heard it. From the very beginning, hearing that message, I'll go. Her family wanted to just even spend a little bit more time with her, but it didn't matter. It was already taken. It was already received. She was leaving everything to marry Isaac, right? She'd never seen him. She'd only heard about him. See, that's what's so beautiful to us. She'd only heard the words of the servant that had with him everything, everything of the master, everything of the master's son. That servant had that to explain, to show her. The Holy Ghost has given us everything of the bridegroom to explain and to show us. Amen? And not only explain and show us, he's made it ours. See, that's what's beautiful, is that we have been blessed. Amen? We are blessed. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. That's everything of the Lord's. We've been blessed with it. We have it. And praise be to God, we have the Holy Ghost to take the things of Christ and truly show them unto us, because we already really have them. We do. Because of that life, because of the purpose of God and the plan of God, he gave us the very life that has all of the potential to grow up into everything for him. Everything. And the height of his passion is that we would grow up fully to be his spouse, to be that bride for him. Amen. How wonderful. So she moves with that. The Holy Ghost, if you will, the servant, gives her the vision that nothing else can compare to being with the bridegroom. And she gladly and she boldly goes, even being opposed of her family moving so quickly. They asked her to stay, but she had to go then and move at that time. Well, then last week, When the Lord told her, as we saw, as she marries Isaac and she has those twins, she has Esau and Jacob. And she hears the word of God that the younger son would rule. She went after that. She remembered the word of the Lord. And not just for a later time, she remembered the word of the Lord every day. She loved Jacob. And she had a love as well for Esau. And you know that as you read through this. But there was a compassion, I should say a passion that she truly had for Jacob because of the calling that was on his life, because it was the word of the Lord. It wasn't as much, in a sense, the son. It was the word of the Lord for the son. It was the promise to that son. And praise God, she went after it and she gave everything for him to have it. She preached the word in her home. She was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, even when it differed with her husband Isaac's opinion. Isaac loved Esau. That was his favorite. He wanted to give that birthright to Esau because it was just the right thing to do. But Rebekah knew God's word was the right thing to do. And Rebekah, she moved in that. Nothing took place above the Lord's word. Nothing. Not her feelings, not her fear, not her husband, not what the society thought, not even what family history or heritage told her she should do. It was the word of the Lord, and that was it. That's a bridal heart. That's the one thing heart. I'm going after that, and that's that. God said it, and that's that. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's intense. I'm talking about our family, the family of God, Christianity. Most of it, and most of them, do not understand it. That type of passion. But then you read the Song of Solomon, you get that very clearly. Nobody got the Shulamite's heart but the bridegroom, because he was the one that was calling her and giving her all of that encouragement about how beautiful and lovely and, most importantly, how much he loved her. But she was the only one who got that. The watchman didn't get it. The daughters of Jerusalem certainly didn't get it. The little sister didn't get it. Only she knew it. And that was fine with him, because that was his plan, because she was set aside and set apart for him. Now, it's so wonderful because this Rebekah, she risked it all. And she was encouraged and encouraged her son to take the prize and to take it now. It's more than knowing it, brothers and sisters. You have to lay hold of it. And you have to lay hold of it now and get it and take it for your own. That's it. That's how this works. Praise the Lord. It's love. And I thank God for that. You know, there are, you think about courtship or whatever, your life. You know, you might find there might be many pretty, if you're a man, there might be many pretty ladies. Might, you know, have fun to have different, that'd be great if she loved you or whatever. But there's one that you care about. It's got to be that one. I don't want the love of this one, this one, this one. I want that one. And that's this love that we're talking about. Now, tonight we're going to read of another encouragement in this precious heart of Rebekah for us bridal hopefuls, if you will. And that evidence that not only do we need to lay hold of it, but we need to continue to cherish it. It wasn't just a one-time thing. And I was thankful not too long ago, the beauty of being in love. And why does it just have to be a moment? And for most people, that's what it is. It's just a moment. How about a lifetime? Amen? Amen. The prize and the treasure of being in love. And I don't think even as humans, we do not cherish and treasure enough about the beauty of being in love, or we would continue to take care of it. There was really, and naturally speaking, there's no greater time than being in love. And yet we so soon forget about it, don't we? We let things occupy. How much more so being in love with Jesus? And in what that is, which can't even be compared to this natural love we're talking about. But it's the same thing. Things get in the way. We think we get burdened in the cares of this life, and we drift. But yet we all know this. When we're in harmony with that in love with Jesus, there's no greater time in our life, is there? I mean, you literally, you're not floating, you're flying. You're soaring. As Brother Hill would say about the wings on your back, you know they're there. And sometimes you wonder, am I here or am I over there? And it's the truth. And you hear that voice. It's audible to your heart. Stay in love. We're privileged. Amen. I mean, privileged beyond. Praise God. That's called the grace of God. So, what this goes on to say here is that there is more than knowing. There's living what we know. And we need to encourage ourselves in it. Pressing on for the mark every day. Living the life of the mark for the prize for the high calling of God. And here is the bridal one, Rebecca, who knew that for her son. So let's go ahead and read tonight from verse 41, chapter 27. And it says there, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Notice how she goes back to that. See, obey the voice. That's the word of the Lord. Obey the word of the Lord. And arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran. And tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? So you can see how there is that care for both of her sons. And I appreciate the heart of this mom. She loved, but she knew the calling of the word of God superseded everything. And that's, you know, so beautiful. And then you think about this too. She knew that Esau, that fury would dissipate because he would gain other things in life. It was never about the blessing to him. You understand? It was about things. It wasn't about what it meant unto the Lord. And that's why she knew he forget about it. Because he doesn't have the heart. He doesn't have that spiritual heart for the things of God. And Rebecca said to Isaac, I am weary of my life. So she tells Jacob, you're going to go because your brother's going to kill you. And then she goes over to Rebecca says to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. And this is true too. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? Huh? And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him. This is chapter 28, verse 1. And said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And before we go on into the study, I want you to understand some of the meanings of these words where Jacob tells Isaac to go. Arise and go to Paddan Aram. That means a field. Paddan Aram, the interpretation is a field. To the house of Bethuel. That means the dwellers of God. So he said, I want you to go to the field of the dwellers of God, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban. The name Laban means white, dazzling, and frankincense. So where he was going back to take that same wife that Isaac received in his mother from that same place, the field of the family of God, the house of the brethren, you're going to find there the one that is that dazzling white, the frankincense, that sweet-smelling praise. Didn't send him out in the world to go find his wife, did he? Sent him back to the people of God. Same way, the same pattern as the bride, Rebecca, for Isaac. It never changes. See, it never, ever, ever changes. She knew if he stayed, first off, she knew that Esau was out to kill him. But even beyond that, brothers and sisters, she knew if Jacob stayed and wed the unbelieving, it would be the death of his faith. And that's the truth. Just like our lives, when we compromise our life's fellowship, the double portion dies out. She saw the need for that fellowship. Without the fellowship of like precious faith, brethren, it dies out. We need the stirring of the coals. You can't take a coal off the coals. You got to have the coals with the coals. That's why the Word of God says that we gather the much the more as we see that day approaching. Amen. Bridal ones, and this is a testimony of the heart of Rebecca for her son. Bridal ones make steps to more truth with every step. They don't compromise in fear. She didn't fear and say, we'll get away from the people of God. She knew what was going on, and I'm going to send you into the people of God. I'm going to send you further in there. Amen? As a matter of fact, we're going to go and trace the same line that your father traced to find me. Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ in us? She knew who she was. She knew the prize she was for her husband. And why? Because of the word of the Lord told her. Amen. You think that she didn't realize who she was? That she was circled out of God? That she was the woman at the well to marry that one? The son of the father of us all, Abraham. She knew it. And she was going, and it wasn't just selfish to her. She wanted it to be like a Galilee through her life, and especially to her son. This is the way we go. See, and brothers and sisters, this is every facet of life, especially being with other bridal saints. This is what this speaks of. They know it is essential not to let down. Solomon, and we know this story, he had it all. That man had knowledge like no one else had. Understanding, and I'm talking about the understanding of the Lord. He knew the word of God. He praised the Lord. He had such a precious heart. He was one of the very first ones it speaks of that he lifted his hands and he praised the Lord out loud. The ministry of the Lord through his heart, all the things that God wrote through his heart, stunning, unbelievable, the things that he saw. But yet the fellowship of ungodly wives caused him to miss the very best that his father David won. Think of that. All of that was squandered, and if you will, because of fellowship that wasn't at this height that once again Rebecca saw that, son, if you're going to win what I have that your dad has, it's got to be the same. You've got to go this way. So, just as Isaac, see, even though we have knowledge or desire, brothers and sisters, even though we have rejoicing, we are influenced by the choices we make and how and who we live with and who we fellowship with. Isaac taking the wife from the people of God, that was the pattern. Amen? See, there were people around Abraham, but Abraham sent that servant, you go find my wife from my people. That wife for my son. You go get his wife from my people. God will bring her. She'll meet you at that well. Praise the Lord. And again, Rebecca knew there was no other way. Jacob, to win it all, could not do that without the wife from the people. And you think of what a windfall Jacob received through his wondrous wife, Rachel. They got the offspring of Joseph and Benjamin. Isn't that awesome? You think of those lives. Go read about them, and especially that in Joseph. But the fruit and the offspring that would magnify the life of Christ, magnify the ruling and reigning of the bride with Jesus, and magnify, praise God, the wonderful, that we'll get to, God willing, I think next week we'll do Asenath, which is Joseph's wife. But how Joseph ascended to that place of second in command, really ruling over it all. And there he takes that Gentile wife right out of Egypt. That one that had nothing, they wouldn't want to have anything to do with God. But God said, that's the one I'm going to magnify. That's you. That's you, see? And put you in that most elevated, exalted state. That came through that decision of that mother, Rebecca, for her son, Jacob. Go get that wife. And boy, did he get a wife, didn't he? See, brothers and sisters, it's just wonderful what you get when you listen to the word of God. The encouragement that Jacob gave us of falling in love and being in love with a wife all of his life. He adored Rachel. That love that he had for her speaks volumes to us of being in love with the bridegroom. Amen? And how the bridegroom is in love with us. What a testimony in Rebecca for this, being this virtuous woman. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Amen? That's Proverbs 31. I want to emphasize, thinking about Jacob again, he was 40 years old when his mother came to him and said, you're going to go out there, and when he was out there as well too, and get that birthright from your brother. That he was 40 years old. She had talked to him about that. But that was the point when he was out there with his brother, Esau, that he was able to give him that pottage for that birthright. 40. All right? He's probably now about 70 years old when his mother comes to him and says, your dad is going to give the blessing. 70. You need to go out there to the flock, get a double portion of them, bring them in. And I'm going to get you ready, and you're going to go in there and take what God said is yours. Okay? Now think of that. 40, 70. And here's mom telling him this. And you know what? I don't read anything about him questioning what mom said. He always listened to the word of God through his mom. Did you hear that? We better never quit listening to those that have followed Paul and hit that mark. Listen. Listen to those that love truth, that know that truth. Amen. 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 He honored his mom, speaking the word of God to him, to go now, to take it, to get the double portion. Listen only to my words. She said that many, many times in his life. She needed to reinforce this because perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all doubt. You need to hear the word of God over and over and over and over again. That's what was so stunning in this precious sister. She didn't care. I don't care if you're 40. I don't care if you're 70. I don't even care what it looks like. I don't care what your dad said. This is what the word of the Lord says. And this is what we're doing. Because we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Amen? God said it, and that's that. Amen. These are the lives, brothers and sisters, that and testimonies of fully purposed ones. These are the lives that go in and steal a birthright. These are the lives that fail like David in murder and adultery and don't stop. These are the lives like Mary at the feet of Jesus being ridiculed and told her that she's lazy and not doing anything. Don't bother him. Or like the precious woman at the feet of Jesus who's insulted and right in front of her, she overhears as well. If you knew what kind of woman she was, you wouldn't let her touch you. But these are the kind of people that nothing stops them from pursuing God's best. Not any uprising, not any downsetting. That means not anything that is a success in your life or the greatest embarrassment to your life as a Christian. These are the full overcomers that no matter the impossibility of the task, God set it, and that's for me. This is powerful. This is the testimony of the heart of the full-purposed ones. And that heart, praise God, was instilled in Jacob through his mom. And brothers and sisters, that's another sign, a type, a trait, if you will, of the readied wives. Those around them transform. Or they're not around them very long. Because that's just who you are. It's not that you're aggressive. It's not that you're trying to jam something down somebody's throat, but you're in love. That's it. I had friends, and when I fell in love with Polly, I just wanted to be in love with her. Well, some of them didn't understand that, and they just left. But then I really had friends that understood that, and they wanted to enjoy still my life and understand how happy I was. But this is even beyond that, because this is God. And you testify of that, and that love can be yours. Don't you ever look at somebody or look at a couple and you see how happy and you've seen that testimony and you say, I'd love to have that. I'd love to have that. Well, you can have this. This is one thing you can have. No, Jesus wants you to have it so bad. I get a vision right now of the Father and the Son just on the edge of their seat, just adoring you. Hearing His word. And take of mine, take of mine. It's often said how a son treats his mom is how he'll treat his wife. And how Jacob loved his mom. I sure love my mom. And I sure love my wife. And he honored and he cherished her words. And we saw that passion for Rachel. His affection and his devotion. His testimony of love for her. No matter how long I have to wait for you, I'll wait. Do you see how that testimony just transferred right off mom, right onto son, and they wrote these things for us? Well, honey, you're going to have to wait another 7 years. Oh, sweetheart, that's just like a few days. Just like a few days. And let me tell you something, Jacob wasn't like that, was he? Jacob, as you read, he could be sneaky, a little conniver, a lot of different things. But in love, he was different. Didn't have to have it now. I'll wait for you. You're mine, I'll wait. Doesn't matter how long. I'll endure to have you as my spouse. There was nothing that was too great to overcome in that. See, Esau, as you read the story, he married from the godless Hittites at the age of 40. Jacob abided. He was probably somewhere close to 80 years old when he weds Rachel. Could be. Could have been that old. I'll tell you what, you wait for God's best, you'll never be sorry. You don't wait for God's best, you'll always be sorry. There's no in between. It's one or the other. And I pray, by the grace of God, our hearts grow in this and burn in this. Because the word of the Lord, there's nothing more beautiful. There's nothing more valuable. Because the word of the Lord is the Lord. The word of the Lord is our Jesus. This is Him. This is everything. I mean, He is the Word. The glory of Him, there's nothing to be compared. To win Christ, we know, brothers and sisters, is the one thing. To attain to that first trump rapture is everything. It's everything. I thank God for the opportunity that we come in here time and time again, multiple times a week. This is it. Because there is nothing else to preach. There's nothing else to speak of. There's nothing else to rejoice in. It's that gorgeous, beautiful diamond that has all of the multitude, endless facets that you look at, and it casts another sun glory and another sun glory view, and all of that beauty that as you look at it, you transform right into it for Him. And that's what we're doing tonight. You're becoming more like Him. More glory for Him. Praise God. This is truth. That's the life, brothers and sisters, of the glory to glory life that I'm thankful we read about, we study about, and we know. But it's time by grace we yield in faith to it to let it be alive. Alive, amen? And living more and more and more passionately. And praise be to God that we thank Him every day. Lord, this is my life. Awaken me to it more and more and more and more. And brothers and sisters, I thank God I see this fruit. I see the choices. And I do. I thrill because it's the glory of the grace of God that the choices that He continues to make in my life. I can speak of my life. I thank God for that. Everything about the one thing. He's honed me in that there's nothing to vary. You don't turn to the left or turn to the right because He's so beautiful. And I know it's only but for the grace of God. But that grace of God is so glorious and it's so marvelous. This divine bridal walk, the steps ordered of a full overcomer race. Brothers and sisters, we're running it. We're running it. He called you to run that. Have that vision, that excitement. And it is, it's the most romantic thing there is in life. It's abounding. I mean, you the things that He allows you to see and the visions He gives you of your life. He is not a hopeless romantic, He's the hopeful romantic. Because He knows what His truth and love is doing in those that will. And it transforms our thinking, doesn't it? And one thing, too, about sweet Rebecca is we saw that for Eve. It never speaks of her death, in a sense. Never tells about, in a sense. She just goes on. I like that. We know she did pass. But in light of that love, it's never ending. And I just love that, praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.